If you would turn to the 38th chapter of Jeremiah to begin with, at least. Jeremiah and chapter 38. Have you ever been stuck in the mud?
Yes.
You have. Maybe you've gone to a country show or something in a field or some, and then it's been pouring with rain and you're in your car and your car wheels spin round, you're stuck in the mud, and maybe you have to be towed out by a tractor or something like that. Well, I got literally stuck in the mud a few weeks ago. It'd been raining for several days, and I was walking in near Horsham, where I live, in what's called the Nepis State. Now, you may have seen about the Nepis State on the TV. It was an agricultural area, but it's been given over to what we call rewilding. And it's a huge project, the Net Rewilding Project, turning land that was used for food production into the wild. And they've put various animals on it, and all sorts of birds have come in and began to breed there. It's quite a fascinating thing that they're actually doing there on this Nepis estate. And on this estate there are the ruins of a Norman castle from about the year 1100, just a little ruin that is left. Well, I was determined one day to get to this ruin, and I was walking through this Nepis State in my Wellington boots. Now, I didn't admit this is a bit of an aside. This has nothing to do with the message, really. But I did a bit of research into the Wellington boots. I don't know if any of you do gardening, do you? And you men probably have some Wellington boots. Well, the Wellington boot was invented by Arthur Wellesley Wellington, who lived from 1769 to 1852. He was a British general and statesman. He defeated Napoleon at the Battle of Waterloo in 1815, and he was Prime Minister from 1828 to 1830. And he invented the Wellington boot because it comes up to your knee, and so if you're in mud, it gives you some protection. Well, anyway, I was going up to the ruins of this castle, which was surrounded by a moat, which was dry, well, apparently dry, but it wasn't dry. I found out to my cost it was far from dry, and I began to sink into the mud. Oh dear, what was I going to do? There was nobody else around who would come and pull me out. What if I can't get out? Well, I had my mobile phone on me, so I suppose I could have called for the fire brigade or someone to come and get me out, but fortunately I managed to sort of yank my legs up and pull myself out of the mud, fortunately, and get to an area that was a little bit drier. Now, poor old Jeremiah in our story here is thrown into a cistern, and I know the old King James talks dungeon, but it's better translated as a cistern, and that is really what it was, because there was mire in it. Now, if it was a dungeon, it wouldn't have had mire or mud in it, but if it was a cistern, yes, it could well have had mud in it. So poor old Jeremiah is thrown into this cistern. Now, the reason he was thrown in, because he made a prophecy that some people didn't like. He said, oh, whoever stays in this city will die by the sword, famine or plague. Whoever goes over to the Babylonians will live. But whoever goes over to the Babylonians will live. But whoever stays in this city will die by the sword, famine and plague. And some of the officials said to King Zedekiah, well, we don't like what this man is saying. And this man, they said, should be put to death. He is discouraging the soldiers who are left in the city, as well as all the people, by the things he is saying to them. He's not seeking the good of those people, but their ruin. So they complained to King Zedekiah about Jeremiah's discouragement. Do you get discouraged sometimes? we can easily get discouraged. Do you get discouraged in your Christian faith? You can get discouraged. Maybe you go through illness, or there are family problems or financial problems. All sorts of things can discourage us. The smaller number of people who attend our chapels in these days can discourage us. We can so easily be discouraged. And what I would say tonight, if you don't get anything else, is that I want to encourage you tonight to go on in your Christian faith. Even if times are hard, if times are difficult, and as dear Keir Starmer said, things are going to get worse while they get better. So maybe he's right, I don't know. Things will probably get worse, and as we were saying this morning about the world situation, how that's getting worse, and then all the anxieties, we were speaking about that, about anxiety this morning, about all the anxieties that people have for all sorts of reasons. And there's so many things that can discourage us, aren't there? But I would encourage you tonight to just go on in your Christian faith, to keep praying. Don't stop. Keep praying. Keep on praying, reading God's word, witnessing, and going on in the Christian faith. You know, Moses, he said some encouraging words to Israel. That's recorded in Deuteronomy 31 and verse 8. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. So let's remember tonight that the Lord is going before you and he's with you all the time. He's there present with you. He will never leave you. He will not forsake you. Our God is a faithful God, so we're not to be afraid. We're not to be discouraged about what's going on around us in the world today. So let's encourage each other in our Christian faith. Well, now back to poor old Jeremiah. King Zedekiah sort of washed his hands of him, and he said, "Oh, he's in your verse 5. He's in your hands." King Zedekiah answered, "The king can do nothing to oppose you," which rather reminds me of Pilate in the New Testament, who sort of washed his hands of Jesus and said, "I can find no fault in him." So he said, "Let Barabbas go instead," and they crucified Jesus. You remember that in the Gospel. And so here, King Zedekiah sort of washes his hands of the whole thing and says, "The king can do nothing to you." So what did they do to poor old Jeremiah? It says in verse 6, they put him in the cistern of Melchijah, the king's son, which was in the courtyard of the guard. They lowered Jeremiah by ropes into the cistern. It had no water in it, only mud or mire, the King James Version says. And Jeremiah sank down into the mud. Ugh. Can you think of anything worse? Being lowered into a load of mud. Poor old Jeremiah. Don't we feel a bit sorry for him? But he has someone who comes to his aid. Ebed-Melech, verse 7. A Cushite, an official in the royal palace, heard that they had put Jeremiah into the cistern. And so Ebed-Melech went out of the palace and said to him, "My lord the king, these men have acted wickedly in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet. They have thrown him into a cistern. He will starve to death. There's no longer any bread in the city." So King Zedekiah repented a bit and perhaps felt a bit sorry for Jeremiah. So the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Cushite, "Take 30 men from here with you, and lift Jeremiah the prophet out of the cistern before he dies." What an interesting story. 30 men. Why did it take 30 men to lift Jeremiah out of the cistern? Well, I'm going to suggest it was quite a deep cistern. That's the first thing I'm going to suggest. Could have been, of course, that Jeremiah was a bit overweight. We don't know. He was rather a heavy man. We don't know. But he was down in that cistern, which should have had water in it, incidentally, but it had no water in it. It was just full of mud. Now, incidentally, you have cisterns. All you folk here have cisterns in your bathroom. That's what a cistern is. It's a container for water. But where in Bible times, where did you get your water from in the time of the Old Testament? Well, you could have got it from a cistern, which would probably have been hewn out of rock, which would then have filled up with water, perhaps from natural springs or somewhere like that. Or you may have got your water from the water cellar. Now, this is described in Isaiah 55, where it says this: "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost." Now, why was the water there offered free? Now, there is a reason for that. You see, there was also the water cellar. He was a man who went round with a leather bottle on his back, full of water, and he would sell you water. And it was a tradition that if someone paid too much money, you never got any change back. Bought 3 pounds, said, "I want £3 in the using our modern currency, £3 worth of water," and he gave the water seller a £5 note. The water seller would give away free £2 worth to anybody who came. That's what it's speaking about here in Isaiah 55. The water was free because somebody else had paid for it. And this is a picture of the gospel, because the Lord Jesus Christ has paid the price and died upon the cross for our sins. And we can come to that living water, the Lord Jesus, free of charge, because he has paid the price. Right, back to Jeremiah. So here's poor old Jeremiah in this cistern full of mud. And so Ebed-Melech gets these 30 men and they take some old, it's very interesting what they did here. They took some old rags, we read, and worn out clothes, and let them down with ropes to Jeremiah in the cistern. And Ebed-Melech the Cushite said to Jeremiah in verse 12, "Put these old rags and worn out clothes under your arms here to pad the ropes," because it would have hurt him under here, because the ropes can really hurt you if they make contact with your skin, especially if they move. And so they put these old rags, old clothes as pads under here, and they lifted up Jeremiah, pulled him up with the ropes, lifted him out of the cistern, and lifted him out of the cistern. 30 men it took to do that. It took one man to lift us out of the mire and mud of sin. The Lord Jesus, one man who died for us upon the cross, the Son of God. In that account in Luke's Gospel, we read of a man who was in a terrible state as well. Poor old Jeremiah was in a terrible state in the cistern. Here we have a man who's at rock bottom. A man who is demon-possessed, a man who is homeless, a man who has no clothes, he's never lived in a house, he's homeless, and he lives in the tombs, he identifies with death. This man is at the bottom of the ladder, couldn't get any worse. But Jesus comes along, and Jesus commands the evil spirit to come out of this man. And this man is lifted up, as it were. Just like Jeremiah was lifted up out of the mud, this man in the New Testament is lifted up out of his awful state that he was in, out of the sin that he was in, out of the degradation that he was in. And he's lifted up and becomes a new man, a new person in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so our Lord Jesus lifts us up out of the mud and the mire. This world is full of mud at the moment, full of mire, full of sin. We spoke this morning about the deteriorating world situation. We mentioned this morning about how our country continues to drift away from God. How we need our country to be lifted up. How we need people to be lifted up out of their sinful lives with no purpose, but be lifted up and their feet put on that solid rock. As Edward Mope, pastor of our church at Horsham, wrote, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." So God brought poor old Jeremiah out of the mud, out of the mire, and the Lord Jesus is saving people today, bringing them out of their sin, out of their awful situations. Well, may God bless these few thoughts to you. You might like to study that chapter in more detail. There's a lot more, of course, goes on after what happens further on in the chapter. But we've just got to look at that little section there in chapter 38. So let's pray, shall we?